Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, let's go to the hotline right now. And on the line is Odyssey Sports NBA insider Danny Green. If you're a fan of the NBA, make sure to check out his podcast, Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. Listen to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Danny, how are you? We always appreciate you joining the show. You're a good man, my friend. Thank you.
What's happening, Danny?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, man. I always appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, it's always good stuff. All right, so let me just ask you, do you like the play-in tournament? Because we're sitting here. I know the Cavs got knocked out early. What was it, 2-3 years ago? I can't even remember. They were in the play-in tournament. I was like, this sucks, because they would have made the playoffs normally, but they didn't. And so now we're just sitting around waiting for the Cavs to get the winner of this Miami game tomorrow night, Miami-Atlanta. Your thoughts on the play-in tournament?
I mean, it was just a couple years ago. Everybody was raving about it, how great it was. It was exciting. It still is exciting for the fans, part of it. I just don't think it's as exciting when the teams are so far out from, I guess, contention or in playoff run, like 9 and 10. Some of them should not be rewarded if they're that many games behind.
And should you be at least 500? That's what I kept saying. I'm like, these teams should be at least 500 to get in the play-in tournament.
Yeah, I don't know what the stipulations need to be, but yes, if you're – because now teams always have hope if they're in a 10 seed. And it's like, that shouldn't be the thing. But, I mean, we love seeing this. I like the Golden State-Memphis game was great. See who gets the 7-8 seed, which is cool. 9-10 seeds, I don't know if people are that excited about it. I mean, Mavs played good yesterday. But, some teams that don't deserve to be or have the hope to be in the playoffs when they're that far behind.
That's my thing with it, is we've played 82 games, and now we're trying to decide somebody's playoff hopes in one or maybe two games if you happen to drop one and you're one of the higher seeds. Like, why are we playing 82 games to figure this out in two games or one game for a chunk of these? Like, I know it's TV. I know it's so that people can make more money, but it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I mean, everything is a money play, right? So, but I said just a couple years ago, everybody was excited about it. And now I think it's because some of the teams that are in it, they're not as exciting to watch, or people don't really care to see them in the playoffs. But there was a time where people wanted to see Sacramento play. They were balling. There was a time where, Miami, Chicago, they played pretty good basketball for a certain amount of stretch of time. It's just that they said they were so far out of the race for most people. They're like, they don't think they deserve to have that chance. But, I mean, they may change things. We'll see. But end of the day, I think fans like to watch it, and it does generate a lot of revenue, and it'll probably continue until that turns.
Have you ever had a week off leading into a playoff game, Danny? And if so, what do you do to stay fresh?
Yeah, that's we did, actually. Not many times. It wasn't often. But when I was playing, they kind of, toward the end of it, they started extending that rest time. They didn't have the play-in when I was playing, really. I think that's fairly new. But we got a chance to actually practice. We got a chance to rest a couple of days, because the one seed would get like a bye or, a couple of days extra. But we would practice. We would get a day's rest or two. We'd get a couple practices in. And then you'd wait for your, I guess, to see who your opponent was if you were locked in, because most 1 and 2 seeds are kind of locked in early and they clinch playoff berth. The last seedings, you have to wait till the last regular season game to find that out. So we would just try to prepare for who we thought was the potential, challenge, and then, get some practice and rest days in.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there a better matchup for the Cavaliers going into Sunday? Is it Miami? Is it Atlanta? And should it really matter when you're the number one seed?
It shouldn't matter, but if you're hoping for a matchup that's better fit, it would probably be Atlanta. Because I don't know if they have the same amount of bigs or bigs that can match up with Jared and Evan. Bam is a very good big, protect the rim, and they got, Khalil Ware. So those two guys are pretty solid, but you would want an advantage somewhere, right? I mean, you have advantages regardless, but you probably want more of an advantage at the big spot if you're clearing line.
Danny, Kenny Atkinson had a great year here, especially for a first year.
Unbelievable,
Cleveland. Should to be coach of the year. At least he is in Cleveland. He wouldn't lose any votes here. How does he become a better coach in the playoffs, or is a better coach just a guy that's been consistent throughout the regular season and carries that into the playoffs?
Just keep doing what he's doing. I mean, I don't want to say if he's better. I never played for Kenny, so I don't know how he coaches. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can prove people that, it's not just a fluke, because that's everything with any young team, right? It's to prove that we belong and that we're good enough to do it. We're not just a regular season team, so nobody's going to believe in you until you do it. So if they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that'll pretty much solidify him as, he should be coach of the year regardless, but that'll solidify him as a great coach that, is proven for the job and that can get them to win. Because there's only one acceptable loss for you guys, right? And that's to Boston.
Yeah.
So if he can get to that space, then, he'll have proven that he's capable enough. And then, he said it's only going to take some time before you guys can beat Boston. Obviously things change in the summertime, and hopefully you guys keep seeing group together. But and if you can even beat Boston, then he'll definitely prove that he's worthy.
Yeah, you don't want the bar for next year. You beat Boston, and win the NBA title. You don't want to be like David Blatt, got him to the finals, and then they were in first place and they fired.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, that's the job, right? There's a lot of them get hired to get fired, and that's why I'm not in coaching.
It's the smartest move you can make, man.
Danny, did you ever walk out of a huddle, though, during a playoff game where, you play for some pretty good coaches, where you walked out of there and you're like, man, he just won us the game. What a great call that was on the play. Like, that moment in a playoff game where you know the coach is a difference.
Yes. Many a moments, obviously in San Antonio with Pop.
Yeah.
We also had the players, but just the play calls that he made, the adjustments he made defensively, we just knew, if we executed what he was telling us to do, that we had a really good chance to win, and a lot of times we did. There was no doubt in it. So a lot of times with Pop, for sure. And then, of course, other coaching.
What happens in a locker room when a coach gets fired?
That's a good question. I don't know, because I've been lucky to never be a part of that.
Wow.
Are you serious? You went your whole career without that? Gosh, you did play for good coaches.
Yeah, so I was with Pop most of my career. Then I had Nick Nurse, who was his first year. So I've been a part of coaches getting their first year with that organization. Doc was his first year in Philly before I got there. Nick Nurse's first year in Toronto when they fired Dwayne Casey. But I had Frank Vogel, who also, I believe, was a new hire before I got there. There were new hires, but I wasn't there when the original coach was there. So I was with Taylor Jenkins for a brief moment, and then I was with JB Bickerstaff before, I wasn't there for but just a short time. But then back in Philly with the Nurse, I never was with the group when the coach got fired, luckily.
Gosh, you did play for a bunch of good coaches. Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah.
a lot of them got fired after I left. Yeah, a lot of them fired after. So Doc got fired after I left. Frank Vogel got fired after I left. A lot of them got fired after Taylor Jenkins just recently this year. J.B. Bickerstaff got fired right after I left. So, yeah, a lot of them were new or and got fired after I left, so I never was a part of that, like, internal situation. But I could imagine that I can't imagine because I don't know what that's like having a leader like a Taylor Jenkins, like a Mike Malone, and then next you know, the next day they're not there anymore and we got the interim or assistant coach coaching us now. But I always know that's a trap game for the opposing team. Anytime we went into a situation or a team where a coach got fired, we're like, damn, this is going to be a tough one because the team usually gets hot and goes on a streak and usually plays well. So that's always the game that we didn't like to play so much.
Hey, Danny, I want to ask you an off-the-wall question just because we got a couple minutes. You played quarterback in high school, right?
Yeah,
there ever any point in, I mean, it, when you know you can go to North Carolina and play basketball, I mean, I think that'd be a no-brainer, but was there any point in your football career that you thought, hey, maybe football might be for me?
Yeah, actually, it was my, I wouldn't say it was my number one sport, but it was my two main sports, and there was a time where I did like football more than basketball, and I was pretty good at it. I was pretty good at it, my dad, but he kind of pushed me. It's like, you know, it's indoor sport, you know, longer careers, better for the brain. You know, he kind of pushed me that way. But, yeah, I think I could have played college football. And I actually thought about doing both. But, yeah, I could have probably went to school to play football. But I don't know if I went to the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Could have gone Charlie Ward. That would have been fun. That would have been real fun to watch.
Yeah, it could have been interesting, man. But, I was athletic enough and I was smart enough to, you know, figure out QB is more of his IQ position, right? You don't have to be as physically fit, as you can see, some of the greatest in the world weren't the most physically fit at the position. It's kind of like in baseball, not everybody has to be super athletic. You just have to be good at your position. So it was really reading defenses, calling out plays, obviously trouble throw. So I could throw. But yes, I said, I don't know if I would have made it to the next level in NFL, but I think I could have played in college.
So I just find it fascinating that, you know, we talk about multi-sport athletes and how important it is for high school kids to not just kind of key in, or even young kids to key in on one sport.
It definitely helped with other things. You know, like even younger, I did track because I was not the fastest. I had to work at a lot of my athleticism had to be worked on. So I had to learn how to jump, high jump and triple jump. I learned to run faster. So I did track and soccer, try to work on my footwork because most kids, we grow, but it's hard to keep the coordination, right? So
right.
To keep your foot speed right, to get your reflexes. So defensively, all those things came into play with helping me be able to react, you know, read and react and have my footwork down. So, yes, I think it's very important for kids to have multiple sports in their, and not saying they have to be main sports, but they have to be able to, you know, experience multiple sports, be able to hone in on the main sport, you know.
Danny, awesome stuff. As always, we love talking to you. Look forward to talking to you once the Cavs start to get into some action here.
Same.
Break down some
games.
Yeah,
we're going to have the Man Weekly to help us break down what the Cavs are doing, how they can win, all that kind of good stuff. So looking forward to it, Danny.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I appreciate you guys. It's been a lot of fun. So
thank you,
to you guys,
Danny.
Next
Danny,
week.
I know you said, you're glad you're not a coach, but you sounded like one there at the end talking to the kids. So I'd let you coach my kid. How's that sound?
I appreciate that. Maybe I said I might do Little League, but even then, the parents these days, man. I don't know if I can handle them. It's a lot of pressure these days being a coach. But, yeah, looking forward to it. Good luck this week, man. Looking forward to talking to you guys next week and watching these games. You know, I'm excited for the playoffs. This is the time we've been waiting for. You know, a lot of times we just want to simulate to get to the end of the year, and now we're here. So,
Danny, as always, thank you. Appreciate you big time.
Thanks,
we'll
dude.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys, man. Yep.
All right, peace. All right. Well, you know, we also want to remind you that was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Danny Green. Remember to check out Inside the Green Room with Danny Green on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. A big soccer game coming up this weekend in town. You're like, basket, what are you talking about? I'm like, you need to come back and listen to who our next interview is. Darlington Nagbe, Pride of Northeast Ohio, plays for the Crew, joins us next right here. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.